Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Welcome to Murder and Mimosas, a true crime podcast brought to you by a mother and daughter duo,
bringing you murder stories with a mimosas in hand.
Just a quick disclaimer before we get started. Our show is Murder and Mimosas, a true crime podcast. This means that we do discuss crimes, including but not limited to disappearances, murder, and sexual assault. All our episodes are told with the respect of the victims and the victims' families in mind. We strive to ensure that we provide factual information, but some information is more verifiable than others. With that, grab your mimosas and let's dive in. Welcome to Murder and Mimosas. I'm Danica.
And I'm Shannon.
And today we have our first Wicked Wednesday of the year. If you've been around since last year, you know that every Wednesday in October, we release a second episode of the week just for our favorite season, the spooky season. Last year, we did crimes that were somehow related to Halloween. Go back and check those out if you want some extra spooky content. This year, we decided we'd go the paranormal route, and we even reached out to you guys, the listeners, and had you send in some of your spooky stories. So today, we are starting with the story from Nina. It was the summer of 1996, or better referred to as the summer of hell. I can't help but to blame myself. After all, I've watched plenty of horror movies to know all the basic rules, but even then, I ignored the most important one. I was young and curious, so attracted to anything horror. I played with a spirit board by myself, and if that wasn't enough, I had chanted spells that I found in a spellbook written in another language. Frustrated at what I thought was a complete fail, since nothing had happened, I continued on with this dangerous combo. A few days had passed and things began to change. I started hearing strange sounds. For each night that went by, the evil entity became more aggressive. Some call it sleep paralysis, but I know it was an evil force holding me captive. I can hear the growling in my ear and the voices as it whispers to me, calling out my name.
Nina.
I was terrified. I fought so hard to have just enough courage to open my eyes, and then fear would strike again when I would witness with my own eyes a hooded shadow figure by my bed and shadow figures darting in and out of the wall while calling my name.
Nina.
It was getting worse. I can now feel it touching me. It actually touched my foot. It wouldn't let me sleep, and it was getting stronger. I was so scared, and knowing that it was my fault, I didn't want to tell anyone, especially my father. All my family had warned me about tampering with spirit boards. I no longer felt safe in my own home, and every chance I got, I tried to go somewhere, hoping that this thing wouldn't follow me. I distinctly remember several occasions where the evil had followed me. My aunt asked me to stay with her and her family during the week to babysit my little cousin while she worked. I had fallen asleep. Something had disturbed my sleep. I opened my eyes to the light above me flickering on and off. I immediately left the bedroom and fell asleep on the couch for the rest of the night. Another night, I'd experienced this same exact thing, but this time, as I left the room, I heard whisperings coming from my cousin's bedroom, which was located right next to the living room. Confused and terrified, I started to wonder if it was my cousin that I had been babysitting, only to find out that day he was sleeping with his parents in their room the entire night. I knew I had to dispose of the board, and when I did, I heard a voice later that night say, "I will come back." Eventually, we moved, and I began feeling safe again. The activity still happens from time to time. I realized later that this thing wasn't a part of the house. I summoned it. It is attached to me. I thought I was losing my mind until one day my older cousin had visited. She is also a believer who's had her own personal experiences. We were exchanging stories of strange events, and she distinctly said she heard heavy breathing coming from upstairs. We both looked at each other, and she noticed my dog turn towards the direction of the stairs because she had heard it too. My cousin had lived there prior to me and stated that she'd never heard that during the time of her residency in the home. Yeah.
Well, let's get ready for our next scary story. So when I was a kid, we lived in this house in Russell, Arkansas. It was shaped like a barn and was right off the freeway. I remember this stuff like it was just yesterday. I used to be scared to sleep in my room. I always heard scratches going down my bedroom windows. I had two windows in my room. I would tell my parents, but my dad did not believe me. But my mama did. She eventually heard it. It happened every night, all night. And there were absolutely no trees around my house, and I was on the second floor. Soon after I realized about the scratching, I started seeing a tall black mist with red eyes. Bad things started happening to my family. My dad was a well-known farmer, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom who eventually went back to work as a school teacher. My dad became a violent drunk. When he'd get mad, his eyes would turn black, almost like he was possessed. I started seeing the mist more frequently. Then it became an everyday thing. It would talk to me, and it mimicked voices of my family. The whole house was just creepy. I would get scared at night and go sleep with my brother, who was 2 years younger than me, and I would carry my boombox across the second floor to his room. I would climb in bed with him. And one of those nights that I wasn't sleeping with my mom or sleeping with my brother, my mom was in the bathtub in her bathroom, and it was directly under my brother's room, and I heard stomping in his room. When she came upstairs, he was sound asleep, and so was I. I had a swing in my room that hung from the ceiling. It was swinging back and forth. We eventually lost our farm and ended up moving back behind my grandparents' place in Balnaub, Arkansas. I was 7. Things calmed down for a bit, but my dad was still drinking and still had that same look in his eyes. But I hadn't seen the mist since moving away. I, however, started seeing Civil War soldiers walking around our property, and no one believed me. I actually still see them to this day. Fast forward to when I was 12. My parents got a divorce, my dad's drinking got worse, and he got meaner. He still had that same look in his eyes. I hadn't seen the mist in a long time. I, however, would see people who I thought was crossing the road and would freak me out thinking they were going to get hit. But when I would look back, there would be absolutely no one there. My mom bought a house by the Balnaub Elementary School when I was 14, I believe. I was standing in our hallway and saw the mist for the first time in almost 7 years. But the kicker is, it was now outside of my home and not inside. I started seeing it all the time again, but it was always outside of the house, on the street, or in my neighbor's yard, but never in mine or my home. I started to get really, really sick when I was 16. I really think it had to do with the mist that I saw. When I was 17, my mom moved away and I moved in with my dad. I started seeing the mist more and more, and it kept getting closer and closer to me when I saw it. I told my dad, and he wanted to take me to get treated for it. He thought I was crazy. When I was 18, I moved out and moved in with my boyfriend at the time. I was still seeing it, and we would hear cabinet doors open and shut. Stuff would fly out of them. I would also see a little girl sitting in the window of my living room all the time. Sometimes I would see a little boy. I would hear people talking all the time, but one night I was standing at my kitchen sink and I felt something behind me breathing. And it was the mist. It was the first time it actually shook me to my core. As I was standing there, I was scratched across my chest. I eventually left my ex-boyfriend, and I don't speak to my father very much anymore, and I don't see it anymore.
Welcome to Creepy Tapas,
the show where two spooky best friends give you tiny tastes of terror connected by a common ingredient.
We serve up movie reviews, mysteries, murder, mayhem, and tantalizing tales from the depths of the internet. And some random bullshit, too. All focused around a similar theme.
We blend our love of horror, oddities, and general creepiness and dig a little deeper, discovering the history, psychology, and truth behind your wildest fears.
Join us, Ash and Jordan, as we descend into full darkness every Sunday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's Creepy Tapas, y'all.
What?
Proud members of the Darkcast Network.
Thank you to both of those listeners who sent in spooky stories. To end today's episode, we are going to talk about a spooky place in the world. It's actually going to explore a spooky castle.
Why are these buildings always the haunted ones?
No clue. I guess they can hold more ghosts. Today we're going to start with the Huska Castle, which is like this huge fortress in essentially the middle of nowhere in the Czech Republic, which already is odd who builds a castle in the middle of nowhere. But we will find that things with this castle just get more and more strange. This monster of a building was built in the 13th century on a rocky cliff in the forest, not really near water, which doesn't make a lot of sense. So rainwater was collected to use. It's not located near like a popular trade route that would make sense. But why it was built and where it was built will be the first mystery of this castle. To make things even stranger, it was built with no kitchen and with fake windows.
Was it built for someone to live in? Because it doesn't really seem livable.
No, that's not what the intent of. It was not built for somebody to live in it, or with like somebody in mind to live with it in it. And I thought that maybe it was used during a war to like all soldiers or something, but that didn't pan out on anything that came up, so that didn't really work out either.
Okay, then why spend the money and resources to spend to build this massive building?
Well, this is where the legend from this building starts. Legends from the locals say that the castle was built over this monstrous pit that was just in the ground. During this time, religion was deep-seated within the population, and it was quickly rumored by residents that the pit was actually the gateway to hell.
Seems a bit presumptuous for just a hole in the ground, but okay.
Well, the castle wasn't the first plan. Locals first tried to fill it with stones, but it was apparently too deep. Then more rumors began to swirl of spirits, creatures, demons, and even human hybrids were descending from the pit.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess a building makes a bit more sense. Was the building just to cover the pit?
Well, it was actually considered to be a chapel, and the thought process was that if they built a religious building over this supposed gateway to hell, it would help tame the evil spirits, per se. One really interesting thing that I found was that they were very curious about this gateway into hell and like what was in this pit. So they offered a prisoner who'd been sentenced to death to accept a pardon, and in exchange for that, he had to be lowered into this demonic pit and report back what he saw.
I guess depending what was in the hole, this could be a good deal for the prisoner.
Well, according to the story, during the construction before 1278, a prisoner took the pardon and he was lowered down into the seemingly less bottomless hole. He made it down into the hole a little ways before yowling like a hurt animal. He was pulled back up as quickly as possible, and the sight was shocking. Many said he looked to have aged 30 years in mere minutes. He had descended into this daunting demon-filled pit. Unable to speak after coming back, he just gibbered on unclearly to everyone. But he could provide no information. He couldn't speak clearly. So no one knew what he caught sight of, and eventually he would give up the ghost to the possibly the hole that he explored.
Give up the ghost? What does that even mean?
He died.
Oh.
Just 2 days after accepting his pardon terms, while the pardon option stayed in place even after his death, very few prisoners chose to tempt their fate in the same fashion. Of course, the pardon option was removed in 1278 when construction was completed. We've talked about a little bit of the oddities of this castle already, but once the construction was completed, the paintings that were put on the castle were also odd. A major one that was strange was the female centaur holding a bow in her left hand.
I don't remember any centaurs in the Catholic religion. Why would they choose this?
Well, it's a great question, but I don't really have an answer. Centaurs are generally considered to be a pagan symbol, which is odd already. And it was also pretty common at that time that left-handedness was considered a sign of the devil.
Your sister would be annoyed to hear this.
I mean, now that I think about it, they may have been onto something. Despite it being odd that the painting was adored on the building and the chapel was dedicated to Archangel Michael, which makes sense that paintings of him defeating demons were also painted on the building.
Okay, other than this being a supposed gateway to hell, did anything spooky happen there after it was built?
Well, yes. Have you ever heard of the Nazis?
What? Yeah, of course.
Well, the Nazi regime took over the castle after invading what at the time was known as the Czechoslovakia, which, you know, the Nazis are bad juju enough, but it gets worse. For almost a decade, locals claimed to hear many daunting sounds coming from the castle. It was quickly speculated that the Nazis were doing some kind of horrifying experiments.
That wouldn't be a surprise since we know that this happened often. What kind of experiments, though, were they trying to run at the castle?
Well, it was suspected that there were many different ones, but of course it's pretty unclear since, as we know, many records from the Nazis were either lost or destroyed. But theories, of course, live on. Many theorized that they were trying to actually open the gateway to hell and harness this evil power to help them with the fight against the Allies. Others suspected that they used the castle as some sort of genetic lab to breed a, quote, super soldier. As far as the castle in today's time, it's still very much considered to be haunted. People still claim to hear scratching from below the chapel, which they think could be the demons trying to claw their way out. From my understanding, I believe it's possible to tour the location, but I'm not so sure I'd want to.
Yeah, no, I think I'm good.
We hope you enjoyed our spooky session for today.
And hope you boozed up. Also, please keep sending us those stories.
You can email those in at murder.mimosas@gmail.com, and your story may be picked to be read on our next Wicked Wednesday. We always recommend more bubbly
and less OJ.
Cheers! If you'd like to see pictures from today's episode, you can find us at murder.mimosas on Instagram. You can also find us at murder.mimosas on TikTok, Twitter. And if you have a case you would like us to do, you can send that to murder.mimosas@gmail.com. And lastly, we are on Facebook at Murder and Mimosas.